Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new year of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. We hope you all had a great Christmas. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me yet again for 2022 is my good friend, Dan. We've got so much to look forward to this year and are very excited to show you all the things we've got planned.
Oh, man, we're so excited about what's to come. So many amazing ideas, videos, collaborations to share with you guys. This episode is just a starting point of what's to come this year, and I can't wait to get into this exclusive interview.
So for those who follow us on YouTube, and if you haven't, go subscribe, you will know that we have partnered with AP and AP Race Clinics on a few projects. So our live streams of the Olympic Games and our ongoing parent support streams. Now, you may have seen on AP's social media channels that they are announcing their first sponsored athlete. So for this special exclusive episode, we are joined by the co-founder of AP, Ed Baxter, to talk through all things AP and to share with us a little bit more information about that announcement, including which swimmer is joining the team. Ed, thanks for coming on the podcast. How are things with you? Did you have a good Christmas and New Year?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited about it. Like I said to you guys before we started filming, I could just talk about everything we've got planned for ages. So I know you guys have got so much exciting stuff planned as well, so I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, Christmas was good, New Year's good, nice and relaxed, so I'm looking forward to getting into a new year, new exciting projects.
Definitely. So most people right now will know you as the founder of AP and AP Race Clinics, but let's start a little bit before that with your background in the sport. How did you get into swimming and what was your journey through swimming?
Yeah, sure. So I think I kind of had a very natural path into swimming, as a lot of, you know, swimmers do, swimming lessons. I think I went into the club around age 6 or 7, where a family friend was very involved in the club, and I think had even started the swimming club herself. So I started swimming in the club around age 6 or 7. It was a tiny club. All the coaches were voluntary. I think there was 40 or 50 swimmers tops in the whole club. And it had a massive heritage of really good swimmers. There'd been some amazing performances from such a small club. But we're kind of going through a phase where nothing kind of exceptional was happening. And there was, like I said, the coach Eleanor, and then also coach Sean, who kind of took the reins of the club and really started to push it on. And all the guys around my age, you know, got to about age 10, 11, and everyone was going to nationals. Everyone was, you know, a couple of people were breaking world records, winning medals at nationals. And I kind of just wanted to be involved in that. I'd always been a very, very lazy swimmer. And anytime I talk to swimmers, coaches, whatever it is, it's so cliche. I literally went into training one day. It was a Sunday afternoon. I think I was 13 years old. I was just like, look, I'll give everything I've got this session. You know, I literally, anytime I could get cramped, anytime I could get out of the session, miss a session, I was straight away, I was gone.
Sounds like me.
I just went in, I think it was 10 200 breaststroke or something like that. And I just remember I was lying on the side at the end of the session, like absolute dying, and just thought, you know, I kind of looked around the pool. I was like, I don't think anyone else here can have pushed that hard. And I kind of thought on it on a bigger scale and was like, I just don't understand how anyone could have pushed their body to that level that I just did. And then literally from that moment, like I said, it was so cliche. I just put in everything I could and like literally dedicated everything I could to the sport. And I went from, I think between that year, I dropped 20 seconds off my 200 breast. I was a breaststroke swimmer. I think I dropped 20 seconds from going from making a regional final to finishing fifth in the national final. So, you know, from age kind of 13, 14, I really put everything I did in, I had into the sport. I broke my first British record when I was 16. And around that time, you know, there was loads of really good swimmers being produced by Cockermouth. And like I said, there was probably 50 members in the whole club. So we were getting 10, 15 people going to nationals every year, most people making finals, you know, probably half or more medaling. So we were at such an amazing club. I don't think anyone else in the country can put 25% of their memberships into like national finals. Like, it's crazy. And you know, the coaches back home, you know, Eleanor, like I said, Sean, like the job they do for not being employed coaches, for having a four-lane, I think our pool was described as one of the top five worst pools ever seen by Quinn Talent.
Was like, that actually a top five?
It genuinely was. Like, there would be like bits of mold on the pool side. Oh, I wonder how long we can see that's going to be there for till it's cleaned. And like, we're producing such amazing swimmers from not really having very much. So it got to about 16, and our coach at the time, Sean, said, you know, we need to start looking around. If you want to carry on and really take this into senior swimming, you need to look as to where to go. A couple of swimmers had gone to Stockport, but myself and Luke Greenbank, who, you know, we'd swam together since we were eight, we looked at a few different clubs. And then, you know, when Adam had just gone 57 for the first time, for the 100 breast. So our coach had said, look, Mel's just taken Adam from an amazing junior to a world record breaking senior at the age of 21. So she's probably a good person to kind of look for. So we spoke to Mel. We were invited down for a weekend to her at Derby. That first weekend, she said, did we want to go to Australia for 7 weeks in January prior to the Olympics? So I was straight away as a 17-year-old. That was yes.
It's like, yes, obviously, yes.
And I kind of thought as well, you know, after that period of 7 weeks, you know if you want to be with a coach or not. After that, so I had such an amazing experience with Mel. You know, I connected with some of the lads in her group. You know, they're still my best friends to this day. So everything was going so well. I was swimming really well. So I moved down here and started training with Mel at Derby. When Mel got the job at the Loughborough National Centre, we just all moved with her, whoever was in her top squad. So that was really good. Got to about 19, had a very controversial kind of cut from British swimming funding, which I found very hard to deal with. And I think that's probably where a lot of our passion for what we're talking about today comes from. But I had a very controversial cut in terms of it was four athletes who were swimming the same event around the same age. I think I was the youngest. I was also the fastest, and I was the only one that was cut for reasons that I won't go into. But so that took me into a really dark place in the sport. I had a lot of time of not wanting to swim at all. Started this work we did with Adam and started a couple of, you know, coaching things on my own, and got my love for the sport back again. And then around the start of COVID, decided to transition out of sport and focus on this stuff that we're doing today. So it's a very brief and intense new
journey. It's amazing, because actually from meeting you and Adam, it comes across like you've got the dynamic of childhood friends. So it's actually really interesting to know that you met quite later on, like 17.
Yeah, I think I was 17 when I first trained with Adam. But we, you know, I did a couple of weekends here and there before we went to Australia. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, we kind of got on as much as you do when you train with someone. But then as soon as we got to Australia, you know, you're staying in the same apartment block for 7 weeks. We literally just clicked. And I think that's why we work so well together. We just see our visions are the same, our beliefs, like, you know, those kind of values you hold as a person, they're so similar, and, you know, down to the sense of humor and stuff. So we're so fortunate. Like I said, there's a couple of other lads who we train with who are still my best friends to this day. We still meet up, you know, a couple of times a week. So that kind of having that friendship it really brought me out of my shell as well. You know, I was a very introverted character, and, you know, training with those lads and being around those lads brought me out to be the person I am as well. So it's crazy that swimming really does, like, it changes you so much as a person.
Yeah. Well, do you think being Adam's training partner, training by his side, you know, day in, day out, and that's helped you with your relationship as a business partners now?
Massively. Yeah. Like I said, we just connected on such a good level in terms of, you know, our beliefs around training, our beliefs around work ethic, you know, our values, like I said. So, you know, Adam, the brand is clearly built from Adam's profile and his accomplishments in the sport. But I think, you know, I do all the day-to-day, I guess, work behind it along with the rest of the team. And I think for Adam having the confidence that he knows that we have the same goals, we have the same visions, you know, obviously big decisions, you know, we always talk through, but I think it's good to have the confidence in each other that we're doing the best that we can do. And generally we don't disagree on things. So when we train together, we just, like, we bounce off each other. It was the same energy. It was like we had just this unrelenting, like, desire to, if one of us was going an extra set, it was non-negotiable that the other one would go an extra round. It was like, and it would literally get to the end of a set sometimes if we were both battered and one of us would look at the other and say, don't say it, I can't. So I think having that training relationship's definitely transferred so well into the business stuff, yeah.
I think Scott would actually kill me if that were the case.
I was telling a story on the clinic we've just ran. We were doing a set around, like, mindset through a session. So, you know, we'd do a round and we'd talk to the swimmers around, you know, how do you approach next round? How do you get even better than you just were? And I was telling them a story. When we went to Australia that first time, I can't remember what the set was. It was a long course. It was a heart rate set. I think it was 250s, 100, then 250s again, 100 easy. And Mel had like six rounds down. So it was all max effort breaststroke. I remember we did the first six rounds and then one of us had said, oh, we'll go again. And we've done the next round. Another one was like, well, if we've done another, let's go again. We've got eight rounds, we're lying on the side. And then Mel was like, right, again, you two are going again. And like the Australian team that trained at that pool were like waiting to get in. And they were like, how come we can't get in? And Mel kind of explained that we're going like three extra rounds. And they were like, what? Like extra rounds on top of you've asked them to do. And like, that's just the way we were. Like, I just loved the work. I loved the grind. I loved it. It was so good.
It's nuts. So let's talk about the AP brand then. So why did you and Adam decide to create AP?
So I'd started my own kind of coaching, my own coaching company. We did a lot of private coaching. We tried a couple of clinics and, you know, had around 30, 40 people on my clinics. And I just said to Adam, look, I kind of get how these work now in terms of, you know, finding a pool, building a good, you know, database of swimmers that would want to attend these kind of things, and then working out a plan for swimmers to be able to get a lot from an experience. And we were literally on a training camp in Tenerife in May of 2019. We said, why don't we do something together this year? You know, Adam had come to one of mine, I think, and just done a Q&A at the end of the day. Mm. And, you know, we said, look, we could probably do something really, really special. So later that year, we ran five clinics with 100 swimmers each. And we were like, the planning that had gone into those was massive. Like, I didn't sleep for the May to August when we ran them. Like, I put my life into making sure these were the best clinics we could do. And like the first one we opened for booking sold out in like 9 minutes. And we were like, oh my God, this is like 100 swimmers are so desperate to spend this day with us, which had then, I think, made us even more passionate about making sure it was the best experience possible. And, you know, a lot of the things you see from swimmers, you know, is very boring. Swimming's quite a tedious sport. You know, you're up and down the pool, but what you don't see is that passion that we had when we trained. Like, we were so passionate about training. We weren't just some guys that turned up and was like, oh yeah, I'm going to try my hardest and I follow a black line up and down. You know, we've got such a passion for the sport that's what people need to see. If people are dropping out at age 14, 15, 16, you know, there needs to be someone, an organization, a group or something that creates experiences that those swimmers can go, oh my God, that was so cool. I loved it. Swimming isn't just, oh yeah, it's really hard because I'm up early and, you know, I'm with my mates, I'm having fun. I'm trying to push harder than my friend is because I want to be better than them. Like, do you know what I mean? I think that's the side of swimming that people don't see. And like, I just think it's such a shame that there hasn't been until now an organization or something that's made swimming cool and tried to make it more engaging and fun for swimmers.
Mm. What does AP stand for as a brand, like its ethos or its core values?
Well, our slogan is better than yesterday. So, and that's not about just you know, you do one set the next day, one day, the next day you come back, you got to be 10 times faster. You got to be twice as fast. You know, you don't even need to be faster than you were the last day, but you need to, you know, you need to wake up, whatever it is that you're doing, you know, whether it's the team that's working with us, whether it's the guys that are creating the videos with us, whether it's people who are creating the graphics or the athletes we're working with, you know, you need to wake up and think, today I'm trying to be the best version of myself. But that's not just trying to be good today. I want to be better than I was yesterday. And, you know, even if that's, you know, you might be slower in training, but your recovery was better, so you can be even better the next day again. And you know, that's what we really stand for, is just, you know, having massive passion for your sport and then trying every single day you wake up to be the best you can be. And it's so clear with the team that we work with. Like I said, it doesn't matter if they're a coach, they're a swimmer, they're someone that's creating, you know, content for us. You know, people that we work with are so passionate. And I think better than yesterday is just, it summarizes it perfectly, I think.
Yeah, you got to be careful. It's not just about times and stuff like that. I think it's learning the different skills, and maybe I did one extra fly kick off each wall in tomorrow's session or something along those lines. As long as you recognize what you need to do, it's not all about times. So,
and it's about longevity as well. Like, you know, doing that extra fly kick might make you a second slower each 100 because you're so much more tired because it's hard work. Yep. But you know, in 3 months when you're used to it and then you get into a race and you're on that last turn, you know, because you've tried to be better than you were, not focusing on time, but focusing on process, passion, what you're interested in, and you know, really dedicating yourself, you know, that's what it's about.
Are you potentially trying to increase involvement at grassroots level, kind of enjoyment, per se?
Yes. I think, you know, we're not saying that we're going to go into every Learn to Swim program. Well, right now we're not, and say, you know, you need to come into the sport because it's so engaging, it's fun. I think if you're in swimming, you're there because you enjoyed swimming lessons, you want to swim a little bit more and you're passionate about it, or, you know, so your parenting is a great way for you to stay fit or burn energy. But it's about those people who are in the sport, making sure they stay in the sport and they get the experiences you want. Because for me, if I look at swimming as a whole, you know, you've got club champs there, then you've got counties, regionals, nationals, maybe European juniors or something. Then it's like, right, ISL Olympics. And like this period, it's like, what happens in here? Like, And that's why we see so many athletes drop off, because you know, there's not opportunities for those guys to feel really valued or like they're achieving things. Because I think in athletics, you have under 18s, under 21s, under 23s, then you're into the senior ranks. Whereas in swimming, it's like, right. So when I stopped swimming, for example, or when I came out of juniors, if I wanted to make a senior team, I had to be Adam Peaty, Craig Benson, who's a two-time Olympian, Ross Murdoch, who's a British record holder, James Wilby, who's second in the world, and then two other guys who've been to the Commonwealth Games. It's like, if I want to make a British Championships final, I've got to be better than all those guys. And I'm only 18. It's like, how is that possible? You know, there needs to be opportunities for people to see what's there. And also, you know, people, not everyone wants to go to the Olympics. Not everyone wants to win the Olympics. And, you know, I think you're more likely to win the lottery than you are to win the Olympics. So just because 0.0001% of the people are going to get to race at that bulk there, doesn't mean these guys that watch it on TV shouldn't get that experience. So I think what we're trying to do is bring that experience, that ISL thing you see on TV, that Olympic feel, that buzz when you walk out to race or learn or feel like you're involved in a community or a team. We want to bring that down and give that, you know, make that accessible for anyone. Doesn't matter if you're a club level swimmer, a county level swimmer, why can't you go to a competition and walk out with flames coming next to you, with the lights out and good music on? There's no reason that shouldn't happen, you know? And I think that's what we're trying to do. It's not necessarily about bringing more people into the sport. You know, obviously we want more people in the sport and we will actively try and do that. But at the minute, our focus is making that experience in the sport as good as possible.
And that's essentially what the clinics are doing as well. So besides these young swimmers getting to meet Adam, who is a swimming icon in this country, it's the chance to witness that elite mentality. And even if it doesn't relate to swimming, later on in life when they're 25, 27, like me and Dan, we can testify to everyone the skills that we learned through swimming help us in our work, help us in our lives. The clinics are there to help young swimmers experience this.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's almost like a theme park, isn't it? You get to come, you get to, every single person who works on the clinics delivering a station is the people at work delivering that same information to Adam. If you're doing psychology with our psychologist, that is the same thing that Adam has been given. It's the same conversations that they have with Adam. So, you know, the gym sessions, that's things that Adam did when he was younger. The pool session is ran by Adam and myself. You know, I'm on poolside coaching with Mel now, coaching Adam. You know, that the team is Adam's team. So it's like you come and you get a massive experience. And I think the most kind of shocking thing, or in a good way shocking thing, was when we ran the clinics first, when kids were leaving, it was like, oh my God, I can't wait to go training tomorrow. It's like, you know, when does a kid ever say, I can't wait and go do 10 400s or 10 200 IM? You know, you never hear that. And just seeing the passion and the desire for swimmers leaving and saying, I can't wait to go swimming, like, that's crazy. Because often swimming is, oh, do I have to go? It's going to be so hard. It's probably quite cold outside. And I think just seeing that, you know, that's the epitome of what we do, is giving swimming an experience and making them excited about it.
That's the passion. That's the enthusiasm that you guys give. It's not just you and Adam on poolside. Like you say, it was Rob in the gym, or it's Tom in the psychology. Every one of your team has the same sort of mentality as you do. And it comes across so well. And obviously the kids are learning so much so that they want to go back to their home pool and do pretty much everything that you've just done.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's so important for us is that everyone in the team has been involved at elite swimming at that high level. So even our team manager, you know, one of our team managers is Harriet West. You know, she's competed at 2 Commonwealth Games semifinals. She was the fastest swimmer in Britain. Mike Gunning, he's competed at 2 World Championships. You know, those guys were our team managers this year. Mm. It's like, imagine being able to go into a psychology session, and a team manager usually just, you know, checking how people are. But, you know, our psychologist can say, Mike, when you competed in that World Championship, how does it feel when you walk out? Like, every single person is so passionate about swimming. And I think that's what's important for us. You know, it's the team managers and everyone else gets asked for photos as much as Adam does on the days, because it's not just about Adam. It's about, you know, creating this community and around swimmers. And I think this year when we did the tour, you know, we did 10 days, and our gym coach said to me, when we were sitting down for the last day, one of the videos, we did like a 60-second recap each day. And the last clip was me saying something like, your dreams, it was like a 25 of kids racing. It was like, your dreams are down there, go and chase them. And he just said to me, like, I get the brand. I suddenly, like, in that moment, I could just get it. Because after seeing me and Adam train together every single day and saying, you know, if you don't get down there, you don't deserve to win that World Championships this year. You know, you don't deserve those medals that you say you want, Adam, if you don't do this extra 50. And people then really resonate and they understand the brand when you can kind of understand that passion. And every, like I said there, every member of the team is so passionate about swimming.
Yeah. So the clinics are clearly successful. So are there more planned for the future? Is this almost like a yearly thing now? You want to tour the country in the summer?
Yeah, for sure. You know, that summer tour, I think, is so important for us. You know, it's not just about, you know, the 100 we see. It's almost about the 100 that we see tomorrow. Like every single time we release a video, you know, we get comments saying, oh my God, I'm coming tomorrow and I'm so excited. So I think that kind of tour is really key for us. That's kind of our staple, our thing that no one else does. I think no one else can really do a tour. You know, no one else has built the community and built the brand that we have that enables us to do a tour. So we're going to do more here and there, as we have done this year. You know, we did one on Adam's birthday because, like we said, Adam is passionate about swimming and passing on his knowledge, and he wants to spend his birthday coaching on poolside for 6 hours and talking for 2 hours and doing a Q&A. So we want to do a couple more here and there, and you know, with the athletes that we're going to be working with moving forward, so we're excited about getting them on doing some clinics as well. But that summer tour is not going anywhere for sure.
You looking to expand the team or keep the same team as what you've got, or are you looking to add a couple more in?
In terms of the team that work, the clinics, you know, we've been very fortunate that we've run a couple of years in a row now. So the relationships we see being built between the team and the swimmers is crazy. Like this year was obviously the first time we ran was 2 years ago. So we're getting a lot of people saying, oh, can we have a photo? Because we want to put it up next to the one we had 2 years ago. He was way smaller than you now, and he's a foot taller than you now. I'm like, yep. Great. But it's crazy to see like our team building relationships with swimmers. You know, just, you know, whether it's a gym coach that works in the British Swimming Centre at Loughborough, has now got relationships with these up-and-coming swimmers. And if they end up being in that national centre one day, saying, yeah, but I've known him since I was 10 and we did a race together. That's crazy. Yeah. So we're very fortunate this time when we ran for Adam's birthday clinic, which was about a week ago or so ago now, we had a couple of different team members. It was the biggest team we brought. And that was crazy because they do different things and you see different perspectives and you think, right, well, you know, work with different people is also really good. And it's really good for the swimmers to see a different perspective from a different psychologist or a different gym coach. But, you know, our team is so passionate. And like you said, it's very hard to find people who live and breathe the brand and breathe the passion. So our staple team won't be changing too much, but we love working with new people all the time. Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into not the meat of this podcast, but the selling point, almost the AP athlete announcement. So we've seen a teaser on social media, and we know from speaking to you, this is an announcement you've been looking forward to for some time. Before you reveal who is going to be the first AP athlete, what does it mean to be an AP athlete?
Okay, so we've got kind of three key things that were important for us. You know, we've talked about, you know, supporting an athlete or partnering with an athlete for a long time now. And there's a few key things that are really important. So the first one is like passion for swimming. You know, you've got to have that same passion we've got. You know, we don't want someone who's going to say, oh yeah, thanks for sponsoring me. I'm really happy to be working with you guys. You know, we want someone to buy into the passion and have that same belief. And we almost want that person to have had swimming impact their life the same way as it has for myself or Adam or anyone else that works within the team. Because, you know, that's so important. Because if swimming hasn't changed your life, you can't buy into our dream as much as we do. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. Second of all, we need to know that they're already committed to kind of supporting the next generation of athletes. So the athlete that we're announcing or we're working with, I've known for a long time, and I know that they do a lot of work with their old clubs. And, you know, I know that they've got a real good passion for inspiring the next generation of swimmers. I know they already do a huge amount of work with that. So that was a key thing as well. And then thirdly, we need someone who, like I said, resonates with being better than yesterday. You know, we need to know that their work ethic is second to none. We need to know that, you know, if you put them next to anyone else in the world, they would, you know, out-train them. They would do everything they could to try and be better than yesterday. So, like I said, it's not just about being better than yesterday on times. It's about, right, is this process going to make me faster in a year? Is this nutrition really going to help me sleep better? Whatever it is, they need to resonate with that being better than yesterday as well.
So how does being an AP athlete help the swimmer?
I guess the main thing is financial support. You know, this is one thing that myself and Adam have been so passionate about. Like, and since I first ever met Adam, you know, when I was 16, 17, you know, I was, you know, like I said, I'd broken a British record. I think I'd won a Youth Commonwealth, and I was reaching out to, you know, different companies and saying, look, I'm a young athlete. I'm not from a financially wealthy background. I'm from a single parent background. I need support. Because without financial support, you can't swim. You know, training camps cost thousands of pounds. Recovery kit is like, if you get like a Normatec thing, it's like 2 grand to get those legs that are going to blow up and recover you to make you 2% faster the next day. So, you know, swimming's an expensive sport if you're at the top. And brands generally taking so much advantage of people. So, you know, the athlete we work with now was hugely successful in the Summer Olympics, but then struggles to find a swimwear contract. Like, why is that a thing? So it's really important for us to support athletes. And, you know, so many athletes, you'll see them accepting products that are worth £50, £100, and then saying to their tens of thousands of followers, oh, guys, go check this out. And the brands are just taking advantage of athletes who have worked for, you know, if an athlete's been to an Olympics, that's 10 years of work. It's not one event, or it's not one swim at the Olympics where they win a medal or make a final. That's 10 years of like killing yourself day in, day out to get to that. And that needs to be recognized and that needs to be rewarded. So I guess the first thing is financial benefit. Second of all is, you know, we're a brand. We're not just, you know, as someone saying, I want to help you out, I want to give you some money. You know, we want to provide wider opportunities. So as we grow the brand, if someone's reaching out and saying, you know, can we work with Adam on a awards evening, for example, we can say no, but we do also work with five other Olympic medalists or world champions or whatever it may be. So although Adam's not available for this, one of the athletes within our brand, you know, they'd love this opportunity. They'd love to go out and inspire the next generation of swimmers. So I think financial, then obviously opportunities as well is really big for us.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it as not a dumbed down version, but an easy way to describe it, is it a case of a company that's sponsoring the athlete, but also acting as their management and helping them out?
I think so, essentially. You know, we won't be any form of management, as in, you know, it's very key for us that we don't take from athletes. You know, if we work with each other, we're going to work as partnerships, you know. So swimwear brands will pay you and you say, oh my God, I love your swimsuits. You know, it's not about that for us. It is about saying, you know, you resonate with our passions, you resonate with our beliefs and stuff. And, you know, if that opportunity comes along to us as a brand and say it's, you know, for example, £1,000 to go and do an awards evening with a local swimming club or charity, whatever it may be, you know, a manager would then say, well, I'd like 20% of that. You know, that money is earned by the athlete. That isn't for us to take. That's not for anyone to take other than the athlete. So we can, you know, as a brand, we get asked things all the time. Are we available for things? And the answer is no, because Adam's time's limited or everyone else in the team's time's limited. If we can provide opportunities for other swimmers to make sure that they've got sustainable income through the sport, you know, that's what it's all about for us. Like I said, I had a controversial cut from funding. I know Adam doesn't, you know, resonate completely with the funding model that's in this country. So we're kind of trying to create our own sustainable model at the same time, I guess.
It's keeping people in the sport, like you say. I think the ethos that you've got is absolutely perfect, and actually one that we sort of abide by as well, actually, especially in British swimming, because we've talked so much last year about having such strong juniors, and then the transition from that junior to senior, there's such a dark patch and no one really knows. Very tough. And so we're very much keen on doing, maybe not like you guys, but we're very much keen on that same ethos of trying to keep people in the sport and keep it engaging and keep it fun. I think ultimately it's got to keep it fun.
It's why we kind of almost our guests on this podcast, you'll find us reaching out more to the juniors who are just building up their name and building up their brand. It is so people can learn more about them, because the big names, there's already stuff out there about them.
Yeah.
It is the junior. It's like Kiana McInnes. It's people like that who we're giving a chance to share their voice to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the thing for me is, like, if you think of someone that's made, I think, you know, 17 years old making an Olympic final, imagine if you were the same standard. You were a 17-year-old and you were the best right back in the world, football. You know, you're on £200,000-£300,000 a week. Like, and these athletes are getting a £10, you know, £20 swim costume for free and saying, oh my God, thank you so much for giving me some training kit. And it's like, that is absolutely absurd that athletes are being valued at so little, and that it's the only option. Like, athletes aren't doing it because they're going, oh yeah, I'm worthless, yeah, give me that swimsuit. It's because they need training kit. And, you know, if they're going on a training camp, it's going to cost them £3,000. Think, oh my God, well, I can't spend £100 on training suits. Yeah, please, can have it for free. I'll do whatever you need it. And I just think it's so wrong that it's done that way. And I think it's also about helping athletes understand that, like, if you're given, you know, if someone that's worked with us is given a contract of a swimwear brand that's, you know, it's not offering any financial benefit, it's offering pretty low kit offer, you know, I'd hope that they'd speak to us and say, what do you think? Because, you know, Adam's been there, he's done it all, he can advise on what the best thing to do is. I think that's really important for us as well, is helping athletes understand their worth.
Definitely. So Ed, let's get into it then. Who is going to be the first AP athlete?
So we're very excited about this. And when myself and Adam started talking about it, there was very few names that came to mind straight away in terms of who could be our first kind of flagship athlete. And we are, you know, it's really cool for me. Like I said, I started swimming in the club when I was eight, and I've swam with this guy since I was 8 years old. So I've known, you know, our athlete for 15 years now. And that's why I say, you know, it was such a natural decision for us, because they train with Adam every day. We know that they are massively passionate about giving back to their sport. And, you know, I know that he really resonates with our beliefs around being better than yesterday. There's honestly, you could put this guy next to anyone in the world and he will out-train him. He will go forever. So I'm so excited that our first ever athlete is...
I'm Luke Greenbank, and I'm the first ever AP athlete.
Luke, a massive congratulations, hugely deserved after your achievements this summer at Tokyo. What does it mean to you to be the first AP athlete?
It's absolutely incredible. I mean, just seeing how the brand's grown over the past 2-3 years is something that I'm really excited to be a part of and potentially grow that brand further. The brand's motto, better than yesterday, definitely aligns with how I want to kind of improve every day, and I think that really resonates in the brand itself.
So of all the brands out there, why have you chosen to go with AP?
Obviously I've got a very good relationship with Ed. Like you mentioned before, we've known each other for a very long time. So it kind of feels a bit more like almost like a family, really. And obviously the financial support I get from it is very important in terms of camps and supply, helping my training. But the opportunities to give back for the next generation is also really important to me.
Mm. Ed, is that something that's planned? Is it Luke's going to take or run a race clinic himself, like be part of the team at the race clinics?
Yeah, for sure. I think one thing that we're really looking forward to working with Luke is, obviously we've been very breaststroke focused. So, you know, we're also really looking forward to, you know, diversify, not just around strokes and working on different things, but also everyone's got their own journey through sport. You know, Luke's learned things that Adam's never learned around. Mm. So it's also good to not just only have, you know, Adam talking about his journey, but another athlete who's been very successful in their own right to say, you know, this has been my journey through sport. I've learned these things that, you know, other people might experience. So it's just around, you know, diversifying ourselves to make sure that, you know, backstrokers, or, you know, Luke's a very good fly swimmer, or I am swimmer as well, you know, that they get opportunities to work with athletes that they're inspired by, but also hear around a different journey and hear about different things that they could improve on through their own journey.
Luke, we've seen behind the scenes at these race clinics, the sort of energy that you're going to have to put out there. Are you looking forward to... I don't know. Yeah, the energy, the enthusiasm of this whole team. Are you looking forward to being associated with AP?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen from social media myself, and having known most of the team, obviously Ed and Adam and then a few of the other guys, it's the best kind of environment that they create to help these up-and-coming swimmers. So, to be part of that, I know I'm going to have to try and bring my A game and really get into that culture and try and inspire the next generation. But I think when I've got people around me like that, it is a lot easier to do that.
I think that's one thing we talked about earlier around, Luke mentioned their family. You know, when I was talking around our kind of our values when we used to train, you know, the fact that Luke's been, you know, I've trained with Luke for 15 years, like I said earlier, you know, since Luke was 12-13, I've seen him pushing himself harder than anyone else can. And, you know, from myself and Adam and Luke all training together for, you know, for 5-6 years, we were in the same training group. You know, Luke already gets what we're about. Luke understands why we're so passionate about swimming and what we want to achieve. So, like I said, it was so natural for it to be Luke.
So is there a plan to have a backstroke section as well as a breaststroke section in the clinics?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to do a backstroke race clinic very soon.
Ooh. That'd be fun.
Adam will be doing no backstroke.
So Luke, a little bit away from AP, but into your own swimming, you had an amazing summer coming away with a silver and a bronze in Tokyo. What are your goals heading into this season and future seasons?
I think just to keep on improving. And like I kind of mentioned before, like that, the AP better than yesterday slogan, that really kind of encapsulates what I want to do as a swimmer. And I think that is part of being an athlete. If you become complacent and you don't want to improve, then you're missing the point. So for me, that continuous improvement and consistency at a top level is really important. And that's where I want to take it next year.
Is there anything in particular that you're most looking forward to being part of AP?
I think, yeah, just to get in there, and I can't wait to maybe do a few clinics and see what it's all about, and hopefully, like I kind of mentioned before, is inspire the next generation, and hopefully in a few years' time that there'll be people who come out of these clinics who are racing me on backstroke, or maybe even beating me on backstroke. Who knows? We just got to wait and see.
Would you be happy with that?
Maybe when I get towards the end of my career, it'd be great. It'd be great to see, like I said, just inspire these guys to be the best versions of themselves.
Definitely. Yeah. And it helps when you've got Ed as a boss as well.
Yeah, definitely.
He was quiet about that, wasn't he?
Luke, a massive congratulations. Ed, is there any more athletes planned in the future?
Yes, we are. You know, there's a couple of guys we've been talking to. We're currently speaking with one athlete who is, you know, similar to Luke, very established on the senior scene already. So hopefully in the next couple of, you know, by the end of 2022, we'll have announced them as well. And we're also talking to a couple of, you know, swimmers who are they just coming out of their junior age and they're starting to go into that kind of senior swimming, who we're really keen not to support, you know, due to what they've done already, but because we really think that they deserve the support and they can do some really incredible things if we continue to support those. So definitely, hopefully one more athlete by the end of the year, but hopefully three.
Got your work ass out then, blimey.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Luke, I think all that's left to say is a massive congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Best of luck at the race clinics. Full of energy. We saw these guys go nuts for 10 days. I think we saw you guys on day 7. And yeah. The energy was so high. it's such a great team to be a part of. And we can't wait to see what is in store for 2022 in the pool for you as well.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Yeah, best of luck. You've got Worlds, Commies and Europeans, haven't you? It's a big old year. So yes, best of luck for the upcoming season, actually.
Perfect. Yeah, it's going to be a busy one, but hopefully there's lots of opportunity there. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Ed, thanks for explaining a little bit more about the AP brand. Hopefully everyone knows why you guys put on the race clinics now and why it is great to be associated with you on our YouTube channel. We appreciate it as well.
No worries. Thanks for having us. And, you know, it was very natural for us, like we said, as much as it was natural for Luke to kind of be the first athlete we work with in the brand. You know, we've spoken to you guys for around probably similar around a year now. So it was very natural for us to kind of, you know, use you guys and work with you guys on creating a platform to kind of put something out around Luke. So yeah, thanks for giving us the platform.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for joining us.
That just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. If you haven't subscribed already, please do so on YouTube, Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Me and Dan will be back next week. Until then, I will see you on the next one.
Yes, thank you very much, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.